Merkle Media.
Lashback Fridays on Macroaggressions. We're going all the way back to October 14th, 2020. Episode number 64, The Carbon Tax Hustle. If you're thinking about converting some of your soon-to-be worthless fiat currency or maybe even your retirement accounts into tangible assets like gold and silver, you can go to our website, www.macroaggressions.gold, and Tony Arterburn over at Wise Wolf Gold and Silver will hook you right up. Now, please enjoy the show.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Keith Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison? Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. Thanks for checking us out. I know you got a million options out there, and I am flattered and humbled that you would choose to spend your time listening to crazy old me, but I appreciate it. If you want to connect with the show, you can do so through the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. And this topic, this episode, is about climate change. Isn't that nice? Oh, we're all going to die from climate change. We got to save the climate. You know, it's changing. This is I don't know if I'd say it's a polarizing topic. It's just the topic that everybody assumes to be true. Climate change. It's been sold to us by the media and the government as something that is indisputable, that you can't even question it. It's crazy. You have to be against nature or anti-humanity to even question the role of this fact of climate change, that carbon greenhouse emissions are through the roof. It's going to raise the temperature of the planet several degrees. All of the ice caps will melt. Everything will flood. We'll all die. It's going to be bad. Oh, and it's going to happen in 12 years. It's always 12 years for some reason. Well, no surprise, but I'm here to tell you that all this stuff about climate change is total horseshit. What we're mad about and what they aren't talking about is pollution. That's what we're actually really mad about. But they, the people in positions, the United Nations and their all the scumbaggy organizations affiliated with them, they have hijacked pollution to use it for their term climate change. That's what we're really mad about. We're mad about the giant garbage patch floating around in the Pacific Ocean. We're mad about the rivers in New Delhi filled with unbelievable amounts of trash. We're mad that China pollutes, just dumps chemicals in their rivers that run into the ocean. We're seriously concerned about Fukushima just pouring billions and billions of gallons of radioactive water back into the ocean. We're mad about all these things. And all these things are legitimate things to be mad about. And we treat this plant, this beautiful planet that we live on, like we've got another one to go to, like we've got a backup planet to go to. And it's shitty that we do that. And it reminded me of a line from The Matrix with Agent Smith, where he said, "I'd like to share a revelation that I've had during my time here. And it came to me when I tried to classify your species, and I realized that you aren't actually mammals. Every mammal on this planet instinctually develops an equilibrium with the surrounding environment, but you humans do not. You move to an area and you multiply and multiply until every natural resource is consumed. And the only way you can survive is to spread to another area. There is an organism on this planet that follows the same pattern. Do you know what that is? A virus." So, are we a virus? In some ways, we are. Not a coronavirus, of course. We're an actual virus that has done exactly what Agent Smith has talked about. We move to an area, we suck up all the resources, destroy everything there, and then move on. Whether you're a government like America coming into existence and destroying all the Indians and putting them in concentration camps, otherwise known as reservations, and acting as if that's totally normal, and then using up all the resources that we have and treating our rivers like garbage and our oceans like landfills, we do that without much thought to it. Now, there's countries that are worse. China is a much worse polluter. India, too. I mean, they're just, you know, they have no respect for their surroundings as well. It's not an American-centric issue. But it is something that we have to be aware of. Now, the problem is the source of the information that is telling us that we have to change our ways is probably the least credible source that it could come from, and that's the United Nations. Now, the United Nations is a globalist organization. It is an organization that is determined to create a one-world government. Now, they don't say that, of course. They're saying, we're going to be united nations. We're going to unite all these nations together. Well, they're going to unite them into a one-world government. That's the plan. And the United Nations was created by the Rockefellers, and we know they're a bunch of maniacs. That's what they've always been into. And then they bring in their cronies like Bill Gates and these guys, and the Gates Foundation's partners up with the Rockefeller Foundation and, you know, and the United Nations and all of these organizations to push for this one world government, always under the guise of saving humanity. Now, I think it's quite clear to anybody that's paying attention that the Rockefeller family and the and Bill Gates and his family, they don't want to save humanity. They don't give a shit about humanity. They really don't. They want to control humanity. They want to enslave the people. They're psychopaths. That's how they think. Narcissistic sociopaths that think that they're smarter than everybody else, that they think that they're better than that everyone else has just taken up space on their planet, and that, you know what this world could use? It would be a lot better if we didn't have all these useless eaters like Henry Kissinger describes people. Yeah, no surprise you can find pictures of Henry Kissinger with Bill Gates' dad. Not a surprise to anybody. This is the mentality. So when we move forward in this society that we live in, and we hear things like climate change and global warming, it sounds scary. It's always accompanied by images of skinny polar bears clinging to icebergs that are melting away. And they get you emotionally. Nobody wants to see this happen, right? Nobody wants to destroy this planet. We don't want to see all the ice caps melt. Well, what would that mean for us? Except that it would be beachfront property in Las Vegas, you know? So what does it mean? Well, it's what this whole scam is. I'll just lay it out here and then I'll go back and explain it. It's all about a carbon tax. And this carbon tax is the funding mechanism for this one world government, this new world order. That's what it is. They want to set up a system where you are allotted a certain amount of carbon that you can expel from your activities over the course of, say, a year. And anything above that, you're taxed on. And you can, and this is a way, then the tax money will flow into a big bucket, and then that money will be, I don't know, pocketed. I mean, it's not going to do anything. They say that, oh, we're going to tax you, and then we're going to allow you to pay your carbon tax as your punishment, right? Your penance for exceeding this limit. You've hurt the earth and you have to pay for it, and we're going to have you pay this carbon tax, and then after and then that money will be used to fix the planet, essentially. That's going to be the spiel. But of course, none of that will be true. Because we don't have a carbon problem, we have a parasite problem, with the parasites being the people running the world. They want to make us feel like we are destroying the planet and we have to pay for it. And part of this is crystal clear in their writings and the organizations that they've created to put forth this project. Now, I think a lot of people might mistakenly assume that this is a new thing, that you're starting to hear about climate change. You've been hearing about global warming for a long, long time. But then something really funny happened, and that was that the temperature started going down. So they couldn't use global warming when the temperatures were going down. So they changed it to a more ambiguous climate change, because it doesn't say it's going up. It doesn't say it's going down. It just says it's changing. Well, everything's changing. Weather changes. This is climate. Climate's a little different from weather. Climate's a little bit more permanent than weather. But even climates change over time. So it's one of these Orwellian terms that doesn't mean what it's supposed to mean, or it's so ambiguous that it doesn't mean anything, really. Climate change. We have to stop climate change. Okay, by doing what? Well, by paying taxes, of course, because that'll fix it, because, you know, paying taxes fixes everything. You have to understand that government mentality, along with these sociopathic oligarchs, they never stop thinking of new ways to fuck the public. It's their hobby. It's their job. It's their mission in life, is to keep everybody down on the reservation and them at the top. And how do they do that? Through control, through fear through the media, scarcity through the banks, constant, never-ending laws preventing the people from doing things. And then they siphon all as much money as they can away from the people in the form of taxes. And that money, some of it goes to the government, but once it goes to the government, it flows right back into big businesses. I mean, we see this with the coronavirus looting that's happening, the largest transfer of wealth in the history of humanity from this epidemic, pandemic, whatever you want to, plandemic, whatever you want to call it. It's a scam. It's a scam. You know, it's taking money from one group of people and giving it to another. And that's what the climate change concept is all about. And you get a quote from Lord Christopher Monckton. He's a British consultant and policy advisor and writer and columnist and all those good things. And he said this: "We are now months away from the first and fatal step toward establishing an unelected global government of the largest fraud ever perpetrated on mankind, the climate fraud. And we are very, very close to losing everything that the founding fathers of America thought they had won." Somehow in the next few months, we have to wake the world up, get it to come off the Kool-Aid, and realize that if freedom is to survive, if we are not to descend into the tyranny that every science fiction writer has always thought would be the fate of mankind, then we must stand up now and fight for our freedom. We must fight against the lies that are being peddled by a small handful of scientists who are politically motivated and not motivated by science at all. So he goes on to say, it's been 25 years since the UN, United Nations, produced a report saying we were all doomed. And since then, the rate of warming has been half of what they predicted and well below their entire range of estimates. So the thing is that they keep moving the goalposts on this global warming slash climate change topic. You know, you can find stories from like the 70s where they talk about how, you know, in 12 years, the ice caps will all be gone. And then it's another 12, you know, then they wrote it in 1990 and they said, you know, by 2000, we're done. And then in 2000, there's a report that comes out and says, by 2012, it's over. You know, we're going to be underwater. Miami, goodbye. Los Angeles, underwater. You know, Washington, D.C., inundated and flooded because the ice caps were, I mean, and then 2012 comes and go, oh, 2020 is the year. And then 2020 comes and they go, we got to watch out for 2030. It's going to be rough. Climate change and all, global warming, it never ends. And it never comes, by the way. And how? And why doesn't it come? Because it's fake. It's manufactured. It's fake. And I'm going to I'll point out in a little bit why that is. Well, hell, I'll point it out right now. There is an organization called the Club of Rome. It sounds like a gay bar in Las Vegas. I acknowledge that, but it is not. The Club of Rome was started by David Rockefeller, scumbag extraordinaire, and Dr. Alexander King. Now, Dr. Alexander King is a name that doesn't jump off the page for most people, but he is a co-founder. He's one of the founders of NATO. He's highly involved with the Tavistock Institute in the UK. He's a founder of the Committee of 300, which is the most dangerous group in the world. And he's a co-founder of the Club of Rome. Now, the Club of Rome was founded in 1968 as an informal association of independent personalities from politics and business and science and men and women who are just like long-term thinkers interested in contributing, you know, to a, you know, to bettering the world. I mean, that's what they say they are. They're not those things, but that's of course the cover story. That's what they always talk about that. And they started the whole climate change hysteria, and they admit to it in their 1971 book called The Limits of Growth. And then they took it a step further and they explained how they're going to do it. This is something that almost nobody knows about. But when you read this, or when I read this to you, you're going to go, holy shit, they admitted this? They admitted it. This is from their book written in 1971. The common enemy of humanity is man. In searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. All these dangers are caused by human intervention, and it is only through changed attitudes and behavior that they can be overcome. The real enemy, then, is humanity itself. We believe humanity requires a common motivation, namely a common adversary, in order to realize one world government. It does not matter if this common enemy is a real one or one invented for the purpose. We are reading something they didn't want us to read. This is their plan. This is not an opinion of what they're doing. These are their own words. It doesn't matter if the enemy is not even real. It doesn't matter if there is climate change or not. They are going to use that as their excuse to institute a carbon tax anyway. They said it. They told you what they're doing. It doesn't matter if this is a common enemy, if the common enemy is a real one or one invented for the purpose. They're telling you they're going to invent it for the purpose. If they can't find a real enemy, they're going to invent one in order to realize world government. Who's the Club of Rome? David Rockefeller and Dr. Alexander King. What do they want? One world government. What did they create? Climate change. What is climate change about, according to them, in order to realize world government? And it does not matter if this common enemy is a real one or one invented for the purpose. They're faking it. They're writing about this. They're explaining that they're going to fake this in order to create a movement, in order to push into everyone into a world government. They didn't get drunk at a bar and tell their buddy this. Like, they put it in their fucking book. Should we maybe believe them? Should we maybe listen to them? Or are we just going to say, it must be a big misunderstanding. Once again, with the Rockefellers, you know, because they have the Rockefeller Foundation, right? And they're humanitarians. No, it's a PR campaign. They started the Rockefeller Foundation after they murdered a bunch of people in a Colorado mine. You know, their workers got out of control and they shot them all and had such bad public relations that they created the Rockefeller Foundation to try and get some good PR so that people wouldn't think of them as the reprehensible dickheads that they are. Well, it worked pretty well because now a lot of people think, oh, the Rockefeller Foundation. It's, oh, Rockefeller Plaza in New York. Oh, that's cool. Hey, NBC, they do the Today Show from Rockefeller Center and blah, 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 blah. The Rockefellers are the worst people on the planet. Well, I mean, they've got some competition these days, but they're one of them. But here's the description from the Club of Rome's website. You can go to it. It's clubofrome.org. You can check it out. This is what they say. The Club of Rome is focusing on its new program on the root causes of the systemic crisis by defining and communicating the need for the vision and the elements of a new economy, which produces real wealth and well-being, which does not degrade our natural resources and provide meaningful jobs and sufficient income for all people. All right, when you've been into this stuff as long as I have, and as long as probably most of you that are listening to this, you're probably as deep into this stuff as I am. You've come to an understanding that what these people do is invert the truth. They'll put a statement out like this, and every single component of it will be the exact opposite of what they're actually doing. So they say they're going to create a new economy which produces real wealth and well-being. No, it will not. It will create wealth for them. It'll create zero for you. It'll be enslavement for us. And well-being, no. We'll be eating gruel and, you know, if we're lucky, chewing on grass in our backyard trying to stay alive, which will not degrade our national resources. It'll degrade our national resources and provide meaningful jobs. You'll be working at Foxconn. And you'll be pissed that there's suicide nets because you won't be able to kill yourself fast enough. Oh, and sufficient income for all people. You'll be living on universal basic income. That's what it is. You won't have a job at Foxconn. Those jobs will be with robots. You'll be getting $75 a week, and you'll be thrilled that you're getting that. And you can use that money to go buy their GMO tomatoes as you slowly starve to death in this new economy. But global warming, got to pay your carbon taxes. You got to save the world, buddy. Get on board. You know, I'm sorry, I just can't take these people at their word when it comes from an organization that is founded by some of the most reprehensible lizard people on planet Earth. sorry, I'm not okay with it. And you know, the Club of Rome is not known by most people. It doesn't come up in conversations. They don't issue white papers or things like that. I mean, they're not in the media eye. They prefer to be in the shadows. And you would too, if you were writing about this stuff, you'd hope that people didn't find your 1971 book where you lay out the plan, because it's kind of hard to have a global warming scam when people know that there's a scam going on. But it's like anything else. They put it out there. They use the media to hammer it home. And then if you're somebody that challenges that narrative, like me, then you're a climate change denier. Isn't that convenient? And they slap that label on you, and then you got to debate Cletus, who's like, yeah, man, climate change is real. And you're like, dude, have you read the Club of Rome's book? He's like, I don't live in Rome. You know, and you're like, well, I can't have this debate with you when you don't know, you know, the details of what's actually going on. And what's actually going on here is that this is all a gigantic smokescreen disguised as saving the world, but it is going to be another massive transfer of wealth. It is the funding mechanism for the New World Order. Get that through your head. That's what the carbon tax is. They're not going to say it. It's not going to be on the nightly news. You're going to have to figure this stuff out yourself. But that's what it is. And that's why it's never going away in our lifetime. We will hear about climate change and carbon taxes and carbon credits and the atmosphere and all of that stuff till the day we die. It is that important to them. It is that crucial of a component to the New World Order. It is the funding mechanism, so they can't give it up. This lie will continue till you're well past, we're all dead. And it's only going to get ramped up crazier and crazier. And then the social policing will happen, where if somebody like me comes out and starts talking, you know, logic, I will be labeled a climate change denier, which already happens. And I will be questioned about my loyalty to humanity. Why do you hate this earth? Why do you hate humanity? Why do you deny climate change? Because it's a fucking scam. Look, I live on this planet too. I want it to be beautiful. I don't want it to be polluted. I don't want any of those things happening. But you have to understand the mechanisms of carbon dioxide. We need carbon dioxide. Plants don't grow without it. They've made an essential gas the enemy of humanity. And we're all just like walking around nodding our heads like that's okay. I mean, I understand. I'm not a scientist, but you don't have to have a PhD in this sort of stuff, in organic chemistry, to understand that trees and plants need CO2. You kind of learn that in the first day of chemistry. So they're saying we have to get that number down to zero. Bill Gates is talking about getting that number down to zero on his TED talk. We got to get one of these numbers down to zero. He'd prefer it be the population. You're going to take carbon dioxide down to zero? Congratulations. We'll all be dead, which once again is probably his plan. It's just tough to... It's tough. It's tough because the source, you have to question and be skeptical of the source of the information about climate change or global warming. Because you've got people like the president and Congress and news anchors and the World Bank and the IMF and NASA all preaching about this. And these are the least credible people and organizations you can find in this world. They really are just pathological liars. It's corrupted politicians that sold their souls long ago, news readers, people that work at the World Bank and IMF, and if you're unfamiliar with the World Bank and the IMF, I mean, this is the globalist banking system in conjunction with the private central banks that are controlled by the Bank for International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland. But the World Bank and the IMF, I'll tell you what, the World Bank and IMF first really came on my radar when I read John Perkins' book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. And I have credited him and David Icke both as being two of the most influential people in my journey into these topics. And Perkins talks about the role of the IMF and the World Bank in their enslaving these countries, these, you know, loan Ecuador billions of dollars to build a hydroelectric power plant. The power plant doesn't pencil out. It generates revenue, but not enough to cover the cost of these loan payments. You wind up in debt to the IMF and the World Bank. And then they call in the note and they say, you know, you owe us a bunch of money that you can't pay. So we're going to have to work something out. And that working something out involves privatizing fishing industries or lumber industries and selling them off to their buddies at Goldman Sachs, or, you know, privatizing their ports and selling them off to China, or privatizing, you know, whatever, you know, voting their way in a UN resolution. The point is that the IMF and the World Bank extended these loans to these countries, knowing full well that they weren't going to pencil out, and that the borrower was going to find themselves in default and was going to owe more than they could pay. And then they, the IMF and World Bank, would propose a new plan, which is telling them they have to do something. This country, like in the case of Ecuador, has to do something that is against their best interest in order to get these bankers off their back. So the IMF and World Bank are vultures. You want to talk about parasites and viruses. Those guys are parasites and viruses. So when they're the ones, in conjunction with the president and Congress and NASA, telling us that we have to be worried about climate change, I'm sorry, I just can't take them at their word, because I know who they are. And who they are is the enemy of humanity. So we trust organizations like the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, right? They're protecting the environment. And they're an agency. Sounds very official, right? This is from Jim Sibenson, former public relations official at the EPA. We routinely wrote scare stories. Our press reports were more or less true. We were out to whip the public into a frenzy about the environment. You know, there's no such thing as more or less true. It's either true or it's not. Those are your two choices. Just say that you lied, Jim. Just say that you lied, that you concocted this. You know, if that wasn't enough, these maniacs at the Club of Rome, you know, they are also seeking to reorder society in a way that fits their goals by wreaking havoc all over every institution that they come in contact with, and also weakening what they call the moral fiber of the nation, and to demoralize workers in the labor class by creating mass unemployment as jobs dwindle due to the post-industrial zero growth policies introduced by them, the Club of Rome. Think about that now in the context of the coronavirus situation. Demoralize workers in the labor class by creating mass unemployment as jobs dwindle due to the post-industrial zero growth policies introduced by the Club of Rome. Do we not have demoralized workers and mass unemployment? We do. Webster Tarpley, an author, wrote, "The oligarchs hate technology. And if you hate technology, and you are already in a zero growth world, and if there is no technological progress, you're going to have scarcities. You have got to realize progress or you collapse. The oligarchs say, if there are not enough hats, the answer is not to produce more hats, but to cut off heads." So what do sad unemployed people do? Well, they do a lot of drugs and they drink because they're unhappy. The report from the Club of Rome hoped that demoralized and discouraged workers would resort to alcohol and drug use, and that the youth of the land, as they said, would be encouraged by means of rock music and drugs to rebel against the status quo, thus undermining and eventually destroying the family unit. So the Club of Rome was getting into the rock music business as well, I guess. Gordon Brown, former Prime Minister of the UK, legendary scumbag, once said, "A new world order is required to deal with the climate change crisis." Yeah, of course it is, Gordo. Jerk. But, you know, I mean, look, you would expect to never hear them announce that this is their plan, because to do so would be absolutely idiotic. And of course, these people are relatively bright. They're sophisticated in the art of deception, and they understand the importance of keeping their big mouth shut, which is why it's kind of funny when you get Dixie Lee Ray, former liberal Democrat governor of Washington, and she says this: "The objective clearly enunciated by the leaders of UNCED, UNCED, is to bring about a change in the present system of independent nations. The future is to be world government with central planning by the United Nations. Fear of environmental crises, whether real or not, is expected to lead to compliance." Hey, Dixie, didn't you get the memo? You're supposed to shut your big stupid mouth. You're giving away the plan, you moron. Oh, but it goes on. Monica Kopka's atmospheric scientist: "It is no secret that a lot of climate change research is subject to opinion, that climate models sometimes disagree even on the sign of the future changes, e.g. drier versus wetter future climate. The problem is only sensational exaggeration makes the kind of story that will get politicians and readers' attention. So yes, climate scientists might exaggerate, but in today's world, this is the only way to assure any political action and thus more federal financing to reduce the scientific uncertainty." So in order to get our attention, you decided to lie to us for our own good. Monica, if your husband admitted to cheating on you with his secretary but defended his actions by saying he was just trying to get your attention, I certainly hope that you would inform him that his line of thinking was a bit flawed, just like yours. They admit it. This stuff doesn't wind up on your nightly news. They're not quoting Monica Kopkaz on the nightly news where she's giving away the plan saying, yeah, we exaggerate all the time, but we have to get people's attention. You know why you don't hear that on your nightly news? Because it would screw up the narrative. It's kind of hard to push this plan when you've got scientists and Democratic governors in Washington that are talking about it, talking about, you know, fear of environmental crises, whether real or not, is expected to lead to compliance. They know it's bullshit. They're telling you. They're not supposed to, but they are. Timothy Wirth, president of the UN Foundation: "We've got to ride this global warming issue. Even if the theory of global warming is wrong, we will be doing the right thing in terms of economic and environmental policy." Ding, 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 ding. We have a winner. We have Timothy Wirth, the president of the UN Foundation, explaining it. It doesn't matter if it's wrong. We will be doing the right thing in terms of economic and environmental policy. That's a lot of people that keep saying, even if it's wrong. They know it's wrong. They're in on it. They're in on this whole scam. They understand that it's wrong. That's why they keep preface it by saying, even if it's wrong, we still have to do it. No, no, no. You want to do it. You're then working backwards to create a fake excuse in order to justify you doing this. Of course it's wrong. It's totally contrived. It's made up. It's manufactured. It's fake. It's fake. It's fake science. It's fakeity fake. It's set up by the fucking United Nations. And if you know anything about the United Nations, you know they are not to be trusted on anything. Tim Wirth authored Project 88, outlining the groundbreaking cap-and-trade idea, which became law in the Clean Air Act Amendment of 1990. So if anyone knows about the scam of carbon taxes, it's this guy. He was involved. He outlined how you put cap-and-trade in place. Cap-and-trade is a precursor to this carbon tax system. It's what it is. You know who was running some massive cap-and-trade scams was Ken Lay at Enron. You know, he was supposed to go to prison. He wound up dying of a heart attack, although he might have been Epstein. I don't know. It's kind of hard to say. But you know who Ken Lay's best friend was? Al Gore. Who do you think taught Al Gore the carbon tax hustle? Ken Lay did. From Enron. They're all in on it, man. It's a giant scam. We just are the last people to know it. Some of us have figured it out. But it's tough. It's tough to swim upstream against the social pressure to conform to this climate change. We've got to save the climate. What does it matter? You hate the world? You hate humanity? You hate us? You conspiracy theorist? Why can't you just shut up and get on board with this? Right? That's what they say. Why do you have to fight us on everything? Why can't you just accept this? Well, I can't accept it. Because with even the most cursory dig into this topic, you can find flaws everywhere. You can find their own writings where they're talking about the plan. I mean, you don't even have to dig too hard. You just have to be into it. You have to be interested in finding it. And it's there. It's all there. Because one of the things that these people all seem to have is a form of arrogance that is staggering. And they open their mouth and they talk about this stuff when they shouldn't, but they do. You know, here's Doug Casey. He's a great author. He and I both spoke at Dollar Vigilante Summit at Anarchapulco. He's a crazy dude. I mean, he's a good dude, but he's off his rocker a bit. They've been changing the cry from global warming to climate change because there's so little evidence that there's actually any warming going on. I believe that as little as a decade from now, global warming will be recognized as one of the greatest swindles in world history. It has so little scientific basis, it can only rationally be considered a political scam. He's 100% right. It's a political scam. It's the carbon tax hustle. It's what it is. It's genius. I mean, I give them credit. I give them credit for the concept of central banking in the Federal Reserve System. That is evil, and that is a scam of epic proportions. And they have made a goddamn boatload of money from that. You know, the people running the banks and the Fed, of course, you know, but they have all. I mean, they print money. I mean, they can print as much money and give it to their friends as they want. The carbon tax hustle is going to make the Federal Reserve and the central banking system look like some kid's lemonade stand. I mean, this is going to transform society. And they do it through your guilt and gullibility and trusting and love for the planet and desire to be a good person and to help out humanity and not be an asshole. I mean, they prey on all of your weakness, all of our sensitivities. They're good. They're good at it. They are really good at making this stuff work. And you know, like I said, one of the co-founders of the Club of Rome is Dr. Alexander King. And he's heavily involved in the Tavistock Institute. And the Tavistock Institute is the culture factory of the world. They create the trends. They create the Beatles. They created the Beatles, you know. They created that whole vibe and all the, you know, all the insanity of that. They're social engineers. That's what they do. And so when you've got a guy who's a high-ranking member of the Tavistock Institute co-founding an organization with David fucking Rockefeller called the Club of Rome. And this this organization then goes on to create the concept of global warming. You've got to have questions about it. It's just logical to question whether or not these guys are up to no good, whether or not they're trying to pull a scam on somebody. The answer is they are, but you can't come to that conclusion right away. But you'd be on the right path if you just made the assumption that they're up to no good based on who they are. But dig into their work. They lay it all out, you know, and once you come to an understanding that David Rockefeller wants everybody on this planet dead and wants he and his family to be the only ones ruling it, you know, he would have done well in the kings and the serfs, you know, that feudal system. That's what he's working for. So once you know that about him and you know he's starting these organizations, and then these organizations are starting the concept of global warming. It doesn't take much dot connecting to understand that maybe these organizations and the concepts that they're pushing are not entirely altruistic. Like that maybe there's a little bit more to it that we're not being told. And that's exactly what's happening. Christine Stewart, former Canadian Minister of the Environment. No matter if the science of global warming is all phony, climate change provides the greatest opportunity to bring about justice and equality in the world. Once again, even if the science is all phony, why do you guys keep prefacing it by saying even if it's all fake? If it's so real, you wouldn't need to add that disclaimer. Because it's not real. And they know it. And they're prefacing it by saying this stuff. They're giving themselves an out. She can say, well, I said, even if it doesn't matter if the science is phony. Yeah, it's phony. Vladimir Putin, who is demonized by everybody. Anthropogenic climate change is a geostrategic weapon. Burn, Vladimir Putin. Russia has long said that they don't think climate change and the carbon taxes are real. And they're right. It's meant to shut down all major economies that are not controlled by the IMF and World Bank. It has two purposes. Neither of them have been made public. The first part is the carbon tax scam is that the IMF and World Bank will collect taxes from companies that create too much carbon waste. They will set an allowable limit and tax everything over that limit. Now, unless you get an exemption, you know, like all the oil companies will have, unless you get that exemption, you will be taxed heavily. The general public will need to buy a new super eco muffler for your lawnmower, so the polar bears don't die. Meanwhile, Exxon executives will fly on their corporate jets to half-day summits, focusing on, I don't know, how to cut the greenhouse gas emissions in the Galapagos, right? I mean, you know it's going to be so heavily skewed towards putting all the burden for the taxes on the people and not the corporations. Just look at what's happened with the coronavirus scam. Who gets all the money? The corporations. Who gets none of the money? The people. Why would you think that would change? The same maniacs that are making those decisions are making the decisions on climate change. So nothing's going to change. They're still going to take all the money from us and none of the money from the corporate. You know how Amazon pays all that tax money except they don't. But the second part of the scam is that the companies that are not on board with the IMF and the World Bank will be taxed out of existence. After the crippling sanctions demolish the company, it will either be bought for pennies on the dollar or one of its competitors by a competitor that is playing ball with the IMF and World Bank, or it'll just be put out of business. It's not a very complicated hustle to understand. You play ball with the IMF and the World Bank by paying them their carbon taxes, or they put you out of business. That's how it's going to be. Comply or die. Yeah, so much for capitalism, right? Free markets. Can't have a free market when you have carbon tax systems set up like this. There's nothing free about it. Cass Sunstein, former White House official of the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs. It is desirable that redistribution should occur through climate change policy. Oh, that sounds good. They're going to redistribute some of the wealth to me. Nope. No, that redistribution is they're going to take you, hold you upside down by your ankles, shake all the money out of your pocket, collect it, and give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. Who's going to manage this? Yeah, the IMF and World Bank are going to collect all this. Who's going to manage the carbon tax offsets, which is going to create a brand new marketplace, like LIBOR or Forex or whatever? Who's going to manage it? Citigroup and Goldman Sachs. You know it. You know it. And they're going to make a fucking fortune from this. Climate change is purely a wealth confiscation scheme disguised as a mission to save the planet. That's what it is. The United Nations, through their banking entities, the IMF and the World Bank, is using the manufactured fear of climate change to collect trillions of dollars in future taxes that will be used to lay the foundation for an unelected global government. That's what it is. That's what's happening. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but at least here's the good news. The world's not going to end in 12 years from climate change. That's the good news. The bad news is you're going to hear about it every single day for the rest of your life. They're eventually going to put this plan into place and you're going to have to pay for it. And when you bring this up to your friends that aren't sort of into this, these sorts of topics, they're going to attack you for being unpatriotic, for being an enemy of humanity, and for being a conspiracy theorist, which is, you know, the exact opposite of what you are. This isn't conspiracy theory. This is conspiracy analysis. They're talking about it in their books about the plan. They're conspiring in their writings. We've got all these people talking about no matter if the science behind it is all phony, and even if the science is fake, and even if it doesn't work, and even if we're wrong about this and this and this, we're conspiracy theorists? There's a conspiracy going on. The conspiracy is just two or more people working in secret to commit a crime. Shit. That happens all the time. In Washington, D.C. We're not the problem for pointing this out. But it's an uphill battle. I'll tell you right now. We are going up against professional liars in the CIA, in the media. We're going up against major disinformation teams, United Nations, all these global governance programs, all the presidents, all the prime ministers of all these foreign countries. You don't get to be that level of, you don't rise to that level in politics without being able, you know, without them knowing that you're playing ball. This is a big deal. This is one of the biggest deals. You can get away with not being a pedophile or not being a pervert. And in Washington, they really want those people. But every now and then a good guy slips by. You're not going to be able to become the president or senator or any of these things unless you are fully on board with the climate change scam. There will be no room for dissension in this group. It's that important. So if you're waiting for Tony Blair or George W. Bush or Barack Obama or Angela Merkel or one of these people to slip up and say, well, it's not that big a deal, you'll be waiting a long time. These lower level idiots sometimes, you know, talk about it. But, you know, for the most part, it goes under the radar. These are no-name people. Former Canadian Minister of the Environment. Nobody knows who that is. Nobody cares. But the high-ranking people, they're all on board. And if you think Al Gore is a savior, then you don't know who Al Gore really is. He is a con man. He's made a lot of money off of this. They promised him he would. That's why he had to step aside in 2000, let W win. They promised him this. You want to be the environmental guy? Make you really rich. But we need W in office because we've got an event coming up in September of 2001, and he has to be there for that. The plan is predicated on him being in office. Well, technically in office, but physically out of office so that Cheney can run it. So Al Gore dropped. Okay. We have the recount. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Fine. I'm out. If you don't think there was a deal being made behind the scenes for that, then you just don't know how Washington, D.C. really works. I want to read this Club of Rome paragraph again, just to end with it, because it's critical that we understand this, that we share it, that we get the word out about it, because they've made a colossal mistake here by publishing this book in 1971 called The Limits to Growth by the Club of Rome. Because they gave away the plan, and they shouldn't have done that. But if you think about it, you know, you're talking about almost 50 years ago that this was written. And give them credit. They take a long-term approach to these sorts of problems. They set them up to be multi-generational. You have to give them credit for realizing that if they want to make transformation happen and stick, that sometimes you need to do it it might take a little bit longer than you might want, but you do it incrementally and it transforms society in a way that prevents them from rising up against it. If you made all these moves all at once, it would be too much. In fact, what you see with the coronavirus, you know, lockdown is that when you lock everyone down all at once, you know, eventually it just starts to burst and people start to get fed up with this. But if it's incremental, these things tend to stick a little bit better. So back to the Club of Rome, this is what it says. Once again, the common enemy of humanity is man. In searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. All these dangers are caused by human intervention, and it is only through changed attitudes and behavior that they can be overcome. The real enemy, then, is humanity itself. We believe humanity requires a common motivation, namely a common adversary, in order to realize world government. It does not matter if this common enemy is a real one or one invented for the purpose. 1971. So get the information out to people, because you can't expect the media to tell this story. You certainly won't get, you might be able to get a couple scientists, you know, that peel off away from this and realize that it's a scam. But you have to remember there's so much pressure coming from the university system and also just in the general scientific world. Everything gets peer reviewed, which is like a circle jerk of people. And you pack it with people that are all, you know, on board with your way of thinking, and then I review yours, and then this guy reviews his, and then this guy reviews his, you know, work, and it just becomes like this self-reinforcing loop where everybody is saying the same thing, and so therefore it must be true. And it's tough to break away from that. And if you're a professor that's doing research at a university, or you're teaching at a university, there's guidelines. I mean, you come out against this stuff, this established science, and the threat of ridicule is huge. And people don't like that. They don't want to put themselves in a situation where they're going to be either kicked out of their university, lose tenure or whatever, and, you know, be forced out, lose their teaching position, or have to fight, you know, a battle to retain their job because they've been there for so long. And, you know, they don't want to go through this. So it's easier to just go along and get along. So you can't even count on the scientists half the time. So this is one of those things where it's going to take grassroots effort. It's going to take people getting pissed off about it, talking about these things with their friends, and then sharing the word and acknowledging that you're going to be called a conspiracy theorist. You're going to be called somebody that is detached from reality, but you're not. You're really not. You're just looking at this objectively. You're not taking what the media says and believing them. They have no credibility. You're not listening to your government and doing what they say. They have no credibility. You're not listening to the United Nations scare the shit out of you into complying. They have no credibility. The scientific studies behind global warming have been so debunked by so many people. It's embarrassing that they're still trying to push it. There's so much at stake. You can expect this to be around and probably never go away just because they need this to happen. They're all in on this concept, and it's dangerous, and it's controversial, and it's polarizing, and it rubs a lot of people the wrong way. But it's a conversation worth having. So if you liked this conversation or monologue or diatribe or ranting, whatever you want to describe this as, please share it. Share this show. It takes 2 seconds to do it. Just share it. Put it out there. I appreciate that. It helps to grow the show. And since the show is free, I ask nothing from you, except just help me out, help me and to get the word out there. Let's have these conversations. They're frustrating, but also necessary. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you soon.